Welcome to a new episode of the India Independent Films Podcast. This is Rahul Desai here. And we have a full house today. We are back with Ishita Sengupta and Uday Bhatia. I'm going to stop introducing all our publications now. It's been over 3 years. If you still don't know where we write, too bad. We are going to be, this is arguably, I think, one of the biggest sort of weeks of the year, at least last week was, and we're going to be discussing the two big films, two big Hindi films, Sam Bahadur and Animal. We are going to be starting with Sam Bahadur because we figured that the only way people will even know the film exists right now, given the discourse, is if we put it before our Animal discussion, and you'll be forced to listen to it. Don't worry, we won't. We'll split our time equally between it. At least we'd like to believe that. But Sam Bahadur, as we know, directed by Meghna Guzar, Animal by Sandeep Angareddy. We will get to both the films first, but before we continue, and given that Uday is anyways going to start with Sam Bahadur, we are also going to plug a little bit of our achievements here. Uday, would you like to talk about the lovely award that you just won a couple of days ago? Because I think it's only fair we talk about these things.
Okay, wow, this was not how I thought this was starting.
Yes.
Very short plug, I guess, since Rahul has set me up. I won a Red Ink award for a piece I did last year on documentary, on the great year that Indian documentaries had had. So, thanks for that, Rahul. I will quickly jump out of this.
We will not jump out of this because between three of us here, we have like two big journalism awards. We have the Ramnath Goenka Award and the Red Ink Award. Both won this year between three of us. I think three of us should be proud of that. So this is a very acclaimed podcast right now. Never mind that Uday has won both those awards. Ishita, do you have anything to say?
Yes, congratulations, Uday and Rahul. Very good segue. Better transition than Animal.
I just thought before it gets really dark, we'll start with some positive news. back to reality now. We are going to be discussing two films none of us liked in the last week. And one we have very extreme opinions about. I'm sure you can guess which that one is. So we are going to start with Sam Bahadur. Uday, a few lines about it before we get into it.
Sure. I wasn't a huge fan of this one either. So I think the only disagreements I think we're going to have is in like the initial section, and then it's just going to be like, you know, talking about Animal. But so it's about the life of Sam Manekshaw, who is, I think no one would argue, one of the Indians who shaped the country in the last century. The film covers 40 years of his life, I think, around from the 1930s to the 1970s, the time when he was in the army. And he rose to the position of field marshal. I think he's the first field marshal in independent India. And is played by Vicky Kaushal, who's hidden under a huge mustache and what sounds like Vicky Kaushal playing Dev Anand playing Sam Manekshaw. it's directed by Meghna Guzar, who has made some of the most interesting films in recent times, and also Chapak, which I didn't like too much. And it's written by Bhavani Iyer, who I think co-wrote Razi. Excellent film and an interesting comparison point, I think, to Sam Bahadur, which we might touch upon later. And Shantanu Srivastav and Meghna Guzar, the three of them have written it. So, yeah, it's it kind of begins with Sam as a gentleman cadet, as he puts it, and he's sort of this slightly cheeky, roguish, slightly out of control young soldier, and that seems to be very much a template now, is set by Lakshya and then carried forward by Sher Shah and just a month ago by Pippa. In war films now, that they all start out a little wayward and then they get like the army gets into their head and then they become these great heroes. So it kind of starts out like that, and then he gets all the mischief hammered out of him, and he very quickly rises through the ranks because he's obviously a leader of men and a good strategist. And as we see later, he also does enough to kind of play, play the politicians and to sort of cement his position in Delhi also at the same time, though his heart is always seems to be on the battlefield and with his men. So yeah, in a nutshell, I think that it pretty much looks at his whole career. Ishita, you saw the film a couple of days after it released, I think, or like at least 2 days after. What did you expect coming into it, and did the film sort of live up to that?
I watched it on Friday only evening, I think, after my animal
because okay. I'm in after Calcutta. Animals.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I was anyway a little sleep deprived because we had a 7 a.m. show of Animal, and the film, and also Sam Bahadur did nothing to not make me more sleep deprived. I feel like it's very sluggish, you know. It's also like what you said right now, the summary is more interesting than what unfolded in the film, I feel. Like it was just like a Wikipedia entry, you know, like it just highlighted from one event to the other. And we have seen all of it before. We already have a template in mind of how things work. So yeah, I was very exhausted and very sleepy by the end. But I also want to say that the Calcutta audience I watched with, they were very excited and they clapped at the end.
At the end, at the end when there are a bunch of anthems and I was actually going through a lot of anxiety in the second half because I was like, oh shit, the national anthem is going to play again. I'm going to have to sit and again people will stare at me. We've reached a stage in our careers where every time a war film or a war adjacent film plays, the only thing that's on my mind is I am so scared right now because now I'll have to be a rebel for no reason. You know, and it's just terrible that we've reached it because it can just pop up from anywhere. In Tiger 3, it came out of anywhere. So I was just worried. I was like, in the last 5 minutes, if something happens, it's going to be so embarrassing. And thankfully, the national anthem didn't play, but, you know, the worst things played. So, Ishita, I also was curious about, like, because you watched Animal and then straight away, like, had to write about it and then straight away go to watch this film and have your palate cleansed in between almost and then write about this immediately. After Animal, especially given how that film was, were you worried about sort of processing something like this?
Yeah, I was. Actually, I was, because as I said that I did get enough sleep, and then I thought it looked like a sprawling biopic, which it was on paper, I'm assuming. But it was fine. I think I zoned out a little, so I shouldn't be admitting all these things. I didn't take many notes, so I was then asking Uday later about the details of it. But I got the brief of what the film was trying to say. And the thing is that when I was watching Animal, it was very early, but I was also very angry. And when I was watching Sam Bahadur, I did not feel anything, which I don't think is a nice reaction to have.
I mean, zoning out is sort of also on the film. You cannot blame yourself if the film cannot keep a hold on you. And you know, as I think this is going to be the gist of Sam Bahadur for us as we discuss it, because I think it's surprisingly straightforward and bland. And given that, as Uday mentioned rightly, given that it's come from the makers of Razi, it's particularly surprising. It's particularly
and Talwar, which is such an acidic film. It's just such a it's so toxic. Like everything in the film, like toxic, but like in a good way, not in a Reddy Vanga way, but. Like all the characters are genuinely like messed up in that film, and out here it's there is nothing that happens in this film that isn't some kind of victory for Sam Manekshaw or you know, it's a, if the defeat is there, then it's someone else's fault. So like immediate, like they show him during the war with China, and everything is put on Nehru. Like really clearly everything is put on Nehru. Sam's not even there close by. And even in that, when he lands up out there, he gives like this great speech. And the implication is that, you know, if he was there earlier, or if he'd been allowed to continue a little longer and they hadn't like sued for peace, that he would have turned things around. It's, I mean, which is a, I mean, it's just such a safe way of going about things. And it's such a boring way of doing things that, you know, I don't see what's like, it seemed like it was boring to make the film, let alone watch it.
How much, I mean, like just to give listeners an idea, it's basically just one phase of his life to another. And obviously the history of India is intertwined with these phases. You go from the 1930s to the 1940s, 40s to late 40s during the partition. Then you go like towards the Kashmir issue. Then you go into the Indochina war. So it's just a bunch of episodes that is very loosely connected to each other. Sometimes there are no transitions, and it's very difficult because Vicky Kaushal barely ages through the film in terms of his gait, because Sam Manekshaw is such an upright character, such a bouncy character, that he never, like the central couple, him and his wife played by Sanya Malhotra, you can't tell which decade they're in at any point. And it's only the characters around, like poor Mohammad Zeeshan Ayub was playing Yahya Khan in the beginning, and then later he became like this. He's absolutely he disappeared in the prosthetics of, I don't know, first of all, why they used the same actor. They could have just used a different actor. But yeah, everyone, like India ages around Sam Manekshaw, and it's a very, very, as Uday said, very safe film, and so dull, so uncurious, you know, about like, and I'm wondering if both of you have an opinion on how much of, say, the current, the sort of times we live in, how much of that and how much of the current establishment, how much of that has had an effect on the way maybe filmmakers are self-censoring themselves when they make war films, or maybe they're just, because this war film is no different, not a war film, but this biopic is no different from the few Bangladesh Liberation War films that we've been seeing lately, like Pippa and like Mujib before that, Shyam Benegal, and all of them just glorify India at the cost of Pakistan and Bangladesh. India is the savior, India. And this went the same way, very disappointingly, after Razi, given Meghna Gulzar's politics in those previous films. This went the same way. And, you know, as much as they'd like to maintain that it was like about a very old-fashioned army man who believed in a very pure patriotism, I don't think it came across on screen. And I was just wondering if it's just fear that's driving this kind of filmmaking.
I just want to just add that even though Pippa is not a good film by quite a long shot, I thought it had a couple more interesting things to at least show us about like military strategy and about war. And it had a few good war scenes. And I thought it was like a more honest portrayal of life in the army at that time, which is not a good look for Sam Bahadur, because Pippa has like a lot of flaws. But to your question, yes, it does feel like a film where punches have definitely been pulled, and you know, some amount of self-censorship has happened, and even the targets are very very 2023. Jawaharlal Nehru is like this sort of, it's almost like the accidental prime minister, but out here it's Nehru, like a figure, a weak figure, a figure of pity, not like an evil person, just someone who is like bad at their job and therefore sort of let down the country because of weakness. And Indira Gandhi is a child in this film. It doesn't, she's basically looking to Manekshaw for guidance through the whole thing. And it's basically they lay all the credit for the 1971 war at Manekshaw's door, and almost none of it at Indira Gandhi's. And that feels excessive. And yeah, and it feels very much of this time.
Yeah, totally. I feel like most of the Mujib and Pipa and now this, and this more so actually, and Mujib of course, that they use the 1971 war to almost imply that it was India who won it. Like they completely obliterate over anything that Bangladesh could have done at that moment. And it just is, it has become a very easy, you know, an easy smokescreen, I feel, for glorification of India, which is the current politics also. And I was very disappointed because you expect better from Meghna Gulzar because the kind of films she has made in the past, and also her story, I think Sam is just like, Sam Bahadur towers over everyone else and is talking down on everyone. Like Uday very rightly pointed out that it almost puts him as the person responsible for winning the war, and it gives nothing to Indira Gandhi. So yeah, it's a direct upshot of what is happening right now. Also, another film which is based on 1971 war, I will literally never admit that I had anything to do with Bangladesh.
It's very obvious that, you know, the filmmakers today are only like really using their or going back to eras in which obviously the Congress was in power and historical figures, they can't go back to events or any sort of conflicts that happened when the BJP was in power, because obviously that film would never pass the censors, never get made, it'll run into all sorts of controversies. So they are always going back to the same events, like the Liberation War or the anti-Sikh riots. And we see only these two events. I've seen at least 10 titles this in the last 2 years alone. And I've like had to say the same thing again and again, that it's just getting exploitative. It's dishonest after a while. No matter how much you believe in the integrity and the heroism of someone like Sam Manekshaw, it doesn't come across in the filmmaking. He's just used as a, his story is used almost as a pawn to get across this idea of New India, which is like a very sort of, the savior complex that we have today. And as I think all three of us agree, it's fairly disappointing coming from where it is coming. And we expected a bit more, and expectations do play a role, and they're supposed to, especially if you make films like Razi and Talbar before this, and you get your politics sorry, and you don't have a voice in this film. What did you guys think of like Vicky Kaushal in the film?
Ishita, why don't you take that?
I really liked him. I mean, he was the only reason why I was still invested in the film. It was a very transformative performance, and I feel like there was nothing of the actor we know when I was watching him on screen. Like I was totally totally agreeing with him with that accent, which Uday said that he's playing Devanand, playing Manekshaw. It really worked for me. Like it was a little hammy, but it was very nicely hammy. Like I felt like the excess of the performance was at odds with the restrained nature of the film. Like Vicky was going all out, and he was taking more chances with his performance than the film was doing with its narrative.
Excellent point. Yeah. That's exactly the case, I think, because it didn't work for me, I think, as well as it did for the two of you. I think he gets a little, like, I think it stops there, like the whole accent, and he's so committed to it, and the posture, you know, where he's bending slightly at even as a young man. And he has this sort of these sort of ill-fitting clothes, and just I think all that he's got that so he's committed so much to that I don't think there's much more beyond that. Like I don't feel like I understood the man. I just sort of got this. This sort of flashy version of him. So it's an entertaining performance, but I didn't feel it was a deep one. And I think it's also just bad casting to have Sania Malhotra and then give her nothing to do. She's too good an actor, I think, to, you know, you have Mrunal Thakur, you know, why are you casting Sania Malhotra?
To have
her like the most, like the biggest thing that they have her do in the second half is to be jealous of Indira Gandhi. I mean, that is just that is such a tired idea of trying to give like something for your ostensibly your like second or third lead in the film to do, which is a bit disappointing. I want to ask about something particular, the Yahya Khan track. I thought that could have gone in very interesting directions, and they absolutely don't take it there. But do you think that they kind of, you know, maybe started out with another idea and then kind of realized that, oh, you know, we're, you know, it's 2023 and we just can't, you know, take this anywhere that's interesting?
I think
in case you haven't seen the film, they're basically it shows that they're kind of friends, like when they're younger officers, I think majors, in the, you know, just before independence, that Sam Manekshaw and Yahya Khan are friends, and that you know, the partition basically separates them into, you know, into the different armies, India and Pakistan, and then of course we know how things go after that.
I feel like in my mind this is the only film where I saw that there was an implied friendship. I don't remember watching a 1971, like a film on 1971, and any implication that, you know, these people belong to one country at some point and there could have been friendships at some level. But I think that was a very audacious stroke by the film. And that was the only audacious thing the film did, was that dinner table scene where they're all three sitting together and you realize that they are friends. But then by the time, as the film progresses, there is no point where... you know, the film shows or implies that these two people could have been in touch in whatever capacity, you know, and by the end, Yahya almost becomes like a comical character, and Vicky's Sam Bahadur treats him also like that. He doesn't know, he's a child, he just likes the idea of war, he doesn't know what it implies. So, yeah, you're right. I feel like it probably started out as something which they wanted to do, and by the time they probably, like, they were shooting and they realized they could not flesh out the idea. I think so.
Yeah, I guess same thing. Like, I felt like there was something there, and I was quite disarmed that, oh, okay, it took me a while to realize that, you know, it's both of them, basically. It's Yahya Khan and him. And I felt like they were going somewhere with it, but clearly they held back after some point, because... you know, dare anyone show like 1971 through the lens of like any other country but India? And it's almost, of course, Yahya Khan reduced to a caricature by then. All he was doing was drinking his scotch in his office and getting bad updates about Pakistan in the war. And we've seen that. We've seen that in at least two other films in the last month. The same Yahya Khan like acting like a complete nincompoop. So... it's and given that we saw that, you know, Zeeshan Ayub like as a sort of younger person with the Vicky Kaushal character, it was, again, there's no point being audacious if you're not going to follow up with it. Like, if you're not going to complete the entire loop, there is no point, because they didn't play around with it at all in between those 20-25 years that they were after the partition. And suddenly you see Yahya Khan as like this old obese man, just giving orders and doing nothing else. And so it really amounted to nothing. There was just a bike joke between them that, you know, he bought his bike or something when they were young, and when they were young soldiers. But they didn't go. And I think it's very much a 2023 trait, nothing else.
I don't know. I mean, it's not a terrible film, but it's sort of a disappointing film coming from, you know, the people that it's coming. And after Chapak and this, I think I think Meghna Gulzar could, you know, I hope that she goes back to making films with some complexity, because Talwar and Razi are some of the better written, more complex and more empathetic films, I thought, of you know, the last 10 years or so. Mm. And this one is sort of silly and not too interesting.
Yes. Speaking of disappointing life experiences, let Ishita, why don't you start with Animal? I know you've been joking about you needing to have blood pressure tablets before you start speaking about this, but please feel free.
Thanks. So Animal, as everyone knows by now, is Sandeep Reddy Vanga's new film. I'm just giving the premise. So it is based on a man called Ranvijay Singh, which obviously it's played by Ranbir Kapoor, who has daddy issues. Like most Indian men, he grew up with a father who didn't give him attention enough. So, and that basically took as love language. So he became obsessed with his father. And he wanted to do everything in the world to gain some attention from him. And the whole film is about how this Ranbir's character becomes more and more unhinged in his pursuit for his father's attention. And becomes basically like an animal, I'm assuming. But it's also a Sandeep Reddy Vanga film, so do not expect any deeper insights into the father-son relationship. He uses it as an excuse to basically display his idea of misogyny and toxic masculinity and everything that you have been hearing on social media for so long. So yeah, that. Now, if you both men just intervene and tell me, how do you...
That's a good one.
Find the film.
First, Rahul, tell me, how is the screening? Like, what are the circumstances and stuff?
Circumstances were in Bombay. For some reason, they had a press screening at 7 a.m., which has not really happened. It's not really a press screening, but yeah, it's basically all the press were called for a show that started maybe half an hour before other shows in the city. I think this happened across India, except the only difference was, I guess, all of you in different cities bought your own tickets and went. So yeah, they were just like journalists watching the show mostly, and which made it a little more disorienting, because there was a lot of cheering during the screening and there was a lot of gasps and claps at the weirdest possible scenes, and which is pretty much through the film. And I think a lot of people went in with the desire to enjoy and love this film, no matter what it stands for, no matter how it's going to unfold. And I saw that excitement on a lot of faces, which is unusual for 7 a.m. in the morning. And I saw that, and people love, you know, like a lot of the, even the journalists, or if you can call some of them that, were very nicely throwing around terms like Masi before the screening itself, so that they know that anything goes now, you know, under this whole nice little umbrella of Masi, thanks to some senior critics who write entire articles about this fucking term. It's been so misunderstood that people just, people were determined to enjoy the film. And that's exactly what I saw. I think I was one of maybe two or three silent people through the film. It's not surprising anymore. It's not very different from the, you know, these very loud jingoistic films that we watch. And Sandeep Vanga Reddy, I mean, we've seen the hype behind this film. I found reading the reviews very interesting after, like for the next day or two. I think some of the better writing came out of, you know, like panning this film, and a lot of reviews panned this film. And I think a lot of us were creative with it also. It was a nice little snapshot into our relationship, or into what Sandeep Vanga stands for as a filmmaker or as an artist, and how almost all of his filmography is now going to be reactionary, is now going to be provocative, depending on how people react to his previous film. If people suddenly stop reacting tomorrow, he will be left with nothing to make. And that's a very inviting prospect.
I think that's key, what you said out here, that this film very much feels like a reaction to the way people talked about Arjun Reddy, talked about Kabir Singh, the way Vanga himself in interviews then responded to criticism by saying, you know, that people are trying to cancel me and they're being woke and this is actually how things are and this is, you know, reality and you're just trying to be politically correct and all. And now he's made an entire 3-hour, 20-minute film which is based on that premise. It, you can just see it in every single frame that he's thinking that how will I get a rise out of the audience? How am I going to push them to be, you know, if they're on my side, then to kind of delight them by putting in something that will annoy the moralists. And if you are like a, you know, not a crazy incel, then how do I just make it the most unpleasant experience for them possible? And in that very very silly quest, he has succeeded, I guess, because both sides are yelling at each other, and it's very depressing because it's obviously not a film, it's more of a stunt where you're just trying to, you know, get a reaction from your audience. And it's not even like, you know, some of the names being thrown about are laughable. Like people think he's Lars von Trier, or, you know, if more, you know, less esoteric names like Tarantino and Scorsese were thrown about. But Vanga he's not. If anything, he has regressed since Kabir Singh, which itself was a film with a lot of problems, but. Because he now has no other ambition, I think, except to annoy people who don't like him, I think he's become a much worse filmmaker also, in addition to just, you know, putting some fairly reprehensible things on screen. But the problem is that, you know, even if they're reprehensible, they have to be interesting, and they're not interesting. It's just very boring, but also distasteful.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like, you know, while watching the film, I was constantly asking myself that if I take out all the problematic aspects from the film, nothing would remain. But still, will I like it? And the answer was still no, because I feel objectively it's also a very badly made film. Like, as Uday said, you know, you can do reprehensible things, but you can at least engage your audience, which I feel Animal failed on a very fundamental level. Like, it's so reactive. He's no longer making a film, he's just reacting to the whole thing. It's almost like a childish thing. Like, at some point I was laughing, you know, because there is this one moment where this Ranveer Kapoor, he has an open heart surgery, the character, and he goes out all naked. I mean, he was probably just trying to shock us or whatever, and then Anil Kapoor's character comes and says, beta, tumko khushi hai, lekin aisa mat karo. I started laughing because I'm like, what is going on? Like, this is Vanga saying, this is how far I will go. See, you had a problem with my previous film, and this is what I will do with it. So it's almost childish, you know. And like, whatever hate he accrued in his previous films, he basically channelized everything not to rectify, which of course it's on him to rectify or not, but just to make us angrier. And at this moment, he has such a toxic relationship with viewers. I feel the more we get angry, the more it delights him. You know, so I don't even know how else to react to a film like that, because I feel he is looking at exactly the reaction that we are giving. It's almost like, Rahul, I want to use a tennis analogy. It's almost like, you know, Djokovic getting on with the booing.
Oh, wow. You did not just go there. That's a great analogy, because I dislike Djokovic just as much. But I mean, Djokovic still wins titles. That is the greatest player of his time.
I know.
Vanga, that would be like, you know, Scorsese getting hit in his 60s or in the 60s or 70s and, you know, turning and then having the career that he did. But like, Vanga is, so the discourse is obviously that, you know, he's purposely baiting like the haters, and then how can you get baited? But that doesn't mean just because he's trying to bait you, you stop getting baited and go the other way and say, oh, you know what? He's actually made something interesting. Oh, you know what? Actually, this is the way to channel hate the right way. I don't think so. Like, that doesn't, just because It's like one of those oversmart movies which try to act self-aware and say, oh, now a character will do this. And then the character ends up doing exactly that just to show that they are self-aware about their own flaws. And that does not justify it, right? That doesn't mean the critics or the people who don't like the way he makes films should stop saying that. That is all the more that, you know, it should be pointed out. So, like, people, I get the fact that he gets off on this, but that's not going to stop people from saying the same thing again and again. It's very toxic, and the relationship between viewers, I think even Uday mentioned in his review very rightly that it is a toxic relationship. Watching a film like that is a very toxic relationship, and it is it sort of appeals to the worst parts of you, as at least as men, and that's what Vanga has sold as a device, as a sort of a brand, almost a line, that this is why you'll enjoy it, because it taps into the animal in you, the parts that you're too scared to talk about or exhibit in public. I've made a whole film about your internal sort of demons, and this is why it's so liberating and cathartic to you. But he's so wrong about that, because it's just validating things that already exist in society. It is not actually cathartic to anyone. And I'm seeing all sorts of things, and this was expected after Vanga film. I think it's social media that makes is like it really takes it into another realm in terms of discourse. And of course, it's breaking records as we speak, and I'm afraid to know what will happen a week later. But that was expected. That is not reflective of his mettle as a filmmaker. As anyone who has any sort of original bone in his body. And it's not surprising to see someone like Ranbir Kapoor buy into it, given that he's in a phase where he just wants a super hit at any cost, because he's feeling left behind compared to his peers and the older superstars. So he's just doing anything possible to get it. He got it from two very famous sexist filmmakers, Love Ranjan and Vanga, in the same year. And that says a lot, right? Like it's so obvious that he's heading in a certain direction without, it doesn't mean like he has conviction in what he does. It's just he wants it at any cost. And that's what you see in a performance like this. You know, I wouldn't call it a great or a good a performance after a period of time, because it's very disconnected. The entire scene, film is a bunch of scenes put together that are competing with each other to sort of provoke people. And how can you shock your viewer? That is the only tagline of the film. And there is no depth behind it. There is people comparing it to The Godfather and all. I can't believe they wake up in the morning with a straight face.
Also, it's like Vanga not even trying to sell this, right? Like with Arjun Reddy / Kabir Singh, it made sense because that guy is an alcoholic. He's a doctor. He's a talented doctor who's, you know, a difficult human being, but, you know, at least he has that. So when he says, you know, blunt things and he talks about like bodily functions or whatever, it makes sense in the, you know, in the context of that character, at least, that, you know, what if like the most talented doctor you knew was also the biggest asshole, then he might speak a bit like that. But with Animal, why is Ranvijay saying things like you have a big pelvis, or why is he talking in exactly the same way as Arjun Reddy? Because it doesn't matter now to Vanga. He's not selling like these characters really as their own people. They are just this sort of alter ego Vangas now that he's just putting in films, and they just exist to kind of rile people up. It spends so much time, but there's so little effort to kind of sell this as a coherent story. It's just so strange. He's sort of kind of has this crush on this girl in his school, and then she's gonna marry someone else, but then he tells her that, you know, you'd never, that alphas are, it's something about alphas and how the species are dependent on alphas, and then she leaves her fiance because of that, and then goes off with him, and then they're in a self-flying plane. But then after they have sex in the self-flying plane, suddenly the plane is going to crash into a mountain. I mean,
and it starts.
it's insane. That's insane. And then like some 2 hours later in the film, we find that he's recorded their first night, but the sound only, and he makes his wife hear it and she's happy, and they make up because of that. It's insane. I mean, it just, none of it makes any sense. She's sort of in this what looks like a very abusive relationship, but she absolutely doesn't think so herself. And I think the threat of him, you know, that he could slap her, hit her, whatever, hangs over the whole film, and they just keep it like that, like as a game, because it happened in Arjun Reddy and Kabir Singh, that they won't do the slap now because they know the audience is waiting for it. So they just keep that threat over the whole film, which is just, I mean, that's some level of puerile toxicity that I cannot even fathom.
Ishita, I mean, what do you think? I mean, obviously, I heard you really angry about the film, and I think all of us reached that stage over time in these last few days. And what do you think about, you know, like sort of, is it there a direct cultural impact on society by films like this one? Kabir Singh, though, of course, we saw it play on for months and all. And one of them, I mean, this film is vile. And is there sort of like how much of that factors in to when you're writing the review or when you are criticizing a film? Because it's not something you can like really immediately put a finger on, but it's so obvious, it's common sense that this is why people are going to watch the film, and this is what might happen in the next 1 week across India. I think men will think it's perfectly okay to behave like Ranbir Kapoor because he survives in the end, and he's sort of, it's going to be made into a franchise.
Yeah, I mean, just to reiterate what Uday also said, like nothing makes sense in the film, you know, and he is so, like Vanga is so arrogant at this moment that he doesn't even try. The fact that we know Ranbir can fly a plane is when we know he can have sex in it. Like, he basically, the whole animal is a customized playground for men, for people who are Vanga's fans, you know. And there is no semblance of law and order. People are killed, no police officer. There is no intervention of any kind of civilian in that sense, you know, of logic or anything, because this is what his world is. And as you said, that it is very infuriating. I do not agree with people who say things like, you know, that it's just a film. No, it isn't. I mean, it has a huge impact. At 7 o'clock when I went to watch the film, it was houseful. It was not a press screening. There were normal people who bought tickets and went for the film. There were a lot of men who went for the film. And when you see an actor as popular as Ranbir Kapoor, as talented as Ranbir Kapoor, doing this with full conviction, it kind of gives you a free pass, and it makes it okay for a lot of conversation that happens after that, you know, the way you talk and everything. So I, like, when I'm a little torn between, like, you know, when I call out a film on this, am I moral policing or not? But I strongly believe that in a country like India, films have a real, they do have an effect. And something like this, you know, we need to call it out, because you can see the signs very early. You can see the way, and in a very different scenario, I'm watching a show which will come on Friday, and you know, even there the male character is basically saying that, you know, love is all about hitting the other person, and I'm like, when did it become so normal for this discourse to happen? Because of the success of films like Kabir Singh and Arjun Reddy and now Animal. Sorry.
Was there less Anil Kapoor than you thought there would be in the film?
Yeah, definitely. Because I think the trailers really played him up, because they probably really hinged on what might have been the film's only like possible good scene, which was the father and son sort of showdown. But yeah, there was, because I think he spent most of the film just staring at his son in horror, in different kinds of horror. And when there was this track where we see a body double of Anil Kapoor's character saying that, you know, this is to protect you, I thought then, you know, we might suddenly see Anil Kapoor taking charge of the film and finally see the father-son story that it was supposed to be from the trailers. But that is done away with in the next scene. like the body double is killed and it is over. And it's back to Anil Kapoor just being a bystander, like the women in the film. It was surprising, but at the same time, I can...
Even that seems such a, like, an opportunity missed, right? Like, at least he could have actually killed Anil Kapoor without telling us that there was a body double done for this. And then done that as, like, I mean, it would have been stupid, but at least we would have had some, like, oh, okay, he's alive, he's dead, you know, what happened out here and all that. It's like, in this, it's like you're telling us there's a body double and then you're just immediately killing him after. What is the point?
I to genuinely thought, like, full Abbas Mastan mode I was in. I was like, maybe by the end of the film, when they're having that confrontation, he'll reveal that he's the body double now. The real father died, like, all those months or years ago. So, but obviously that didn't happen either.
Maybe in the next film. Maybe in the next film.
Which is that, Anil Kapoor?
Yeah, I mean, but everyone in the film seemed like they...
Even
had
Bob
something
Deol,
more
right?
to do. Yeah, he just came and, you know, he just got married for the third time, obviously, because he's a Muslim. Then he raped his wife in front of everyone. And then he went to fight and die. Like, everyone, I feel, existed just to prop up Ranbir Kapoor. You know, because, like, I think it was in Rahul's review where you mentioned that Anil Kapoor always seemed like he's on the verge of breaking out. And he just never does. Like, the last scene for me was, which worked for me in the trailer, also worked for me in the film too, where they role play that moment. And, you know, and both of them are so good. And it really made me wish to see them together more and not just having Anil Kapoor be a mute spectator to the horror of his son. So, yeah, I think it was an absolute missed opportunity, because I don't think Vanga was interested to unpack that in any capacity anyway. Like, the father figure was just a symbol for him to justify what the son was doing. He was not interested in analyzing in any capacity, you know, how the father's negligence affected the son. So, yeah, I think it probably worked for him in his head like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it did feel like a footnote by the end. You know, the whole father-son thing might have just been a nice little red herring just to sort of prop up, like, Ranvijay Singh throughout and justify every random decision that, like, Ranbir Kapoor's character takes throughout the film. Like, any random thing he feels like saying, suddenly after the interval, he's like, grown, he has a pot belly because he's recovering from, he's a bullet, like, the multiple bullet wounds, and he's going to die, but then he doesn't because he has a heart surgery, and then falls in love with... I'm running out of patience when talking about it. Where did Tripti Dimri come from? I thought
weirdly, the Tripti Dimri bit pissed me off the most in this film, which I don't even know how to explain. But not because of what is happening to the character as much as, like, I think the idea was to get, like, a good actor, you know, someone a lot better than Rashmika Mandanna, who has presence, to give her, like, a grace and dignity in her first few scenes and to make it look like, you know, what's the idiot's name? Ranvijay is actually, like, responding to that. Like, she's teaching him how to be slightly human. And then to just subject her to humiliation after humiliation. Like, I think it's, like, almost to say that, oh, you know, you like this actor, you think she's good. Here we are going to, like, tease you with the idea that she might have some impact on the film and then just absolutely humiliate her. I genuinely think, because otherwise there's no explanation for that character. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
I mean, Tripti, you played a feminist ghost. You had one job. What were you doing?
you were like a feminist demon in one, and you were like a feminist singer in the next, and it's amazing, like, from there to, and, like, you know, it's even here, even though they had sex scenes together, right? And it felt like these scenes in this film, given the context later, that she says that, oh, I'm a spy, and then Ranbir is like, I knew all along and I was still using you. Given this context, it felt like she was being assaulted here far more than she was as a character in Bulbul and in Kala. And both of those films had scenes like that from which she had to, like, she was broken and had to bounce back from. And it's this film that was, far more humiliating, even though she's entirely human in this and those scenes were consensual. It did not feel like it at all, thanks to the filmmaker's vision.
Yeah,
and what logic is this that he knew that she was a spy and then he kept having sex with her? What, like?
And then he goes to Rashmika and saying that, you know, I was doing it for us and like I knew she was a mole.
Yeah.
And she's fine with it. And she's fine with it. Yeah. She's like, yeah. You know, I don't know if that's when he makes her listen to the sex recording of theirs of what I've completely lost.
That I take great offense to that fucking scene where he makes her listen to that black box recording. That was in Xavier's College. That was outside my library where I spent a lot of time. And I know a lot of scenes are shot in that college these days, but this has soiled it forever.
Sandeep Reddy Vanga, I hope you're happy you've made Rahul cuss twice on the podcast for I think the first time ever. So, yeah. Can I just say that I enjoy it when Saurabh Sachdeva turns up in things.
Even I do.
I like his face. I think it's like a great pervert face. Whenever he turns up, I know that his character is probably going to die very violently at some point, and B, he's going to have a lot of fun before that happens. So I do enjoy seeing him in things. So it was those few scenes were nice.
I think he's had a great year. Like he's had a very prolific year, and in all of the, he's played very striking characters. I told Ishita this couple of months ago. She's like, trust you to like the vaguest of like characters and actors in a year because you watch everything. So obviously you know he's in every film. I'm like, yeah,
he's really good in Janeja.
Janeja, I remember.
But I have seen the series.
I was watching
short film. I'm like, what short film? Who watches?
I was watching Haddi with Nawazuddin, and he was.
I did see Haddi as much of it as I could get through, at least. Who wants to take the Nazis?
You should, because you wrote an entire paragraph on it.
I can. Okay. So there is a swastika, and there is actually the company named Swastik. So, I mean, there's not just a swastika, and it's just more, you know, childishness from Vanga, because there's actually like later in the film, and you can tell that he just, you know, his whole modus operandi is to annoy people and then to be like, haha, you got annoyed, you're so woke. Because later in the film, someone actually addresses it and says, you know, this is not the Nazi swastika, this is the traditional one, which is not tilted and all. But, you know, let's not kid ourselves. The way he is addressing the workers, that framing, very Riefenstahl kind of framing, he raises his hand in a salute which would have been a Nazi salute if the fist wasn't clenched. Let's not even, like, I mean, who are we kidding out here? He's just trying to get people mad, and it's working, but like, who's gaining from this? It's ridiculous. And it's also very much like, you know, if you had, you listen to some of the talk within the film, that they're talking about strong genes and they're talking about alphas and, you know, women who will bear children for alpha men and all. It's a very Aryan race discourse which is running through it anyways. And then to have something that is, you know, teasing you with fascist iconography is very much, I mean, it's consistent. It's not an accident at all. It's just he wants to do these things, and he's playing with fire.
Yeah, I mean, exactly what you said. I wanted to know about this very peculiar character trait that he gave the protagonist in this film, if you can call him a protagonist. Is that I think after that plane sequence, which I was going through great anxiety because I was like, then a damn flight and it's on autopilot and it's heading towards a mountain, and they cut just as he's going up. And I was like, come on, to a nervous player, you don't do shit like this. But
miss watching films with Rahul.
Yeah, I was holding on to my seat like I was in that plane, but that would have been not very nice. I was wondering about the fact that when, of course, when they go through that period and they can't keep that, he can't keep his hands off her and can't stop touching her and teasing her and whatnot. And then, of course, when they come back, when the father's injured, he takes charge of the empire and starts becoming this crazy person. It's implied that they stop having sex entirely and that he can't get it up, or he's too busy, or he can't, or that he's, they haven't had sex in 5 or 6 years. And it's mentioned a couple of times very explicitly. And then, of course, he sleeps with the Tripti Dimri character. And he very gleefully, at the same time, like, starts getting more and more into violence and killing people and shooting people dead. And he gets almost turned on by that. Did you think there was any strand of thought behind this, like, correlation between sex and violence?
Uday, please take it.
I'm giving him credit here, but
yeah, I mean, if there was, I think the line wasn't drawn that clearly, but now that you put it this way, yeah, I think so. Maybe it, like, at least he's using it as a substitute. Like, if he can't get off in one way, he has to get off in another way. And so, you know, it's that. Or maybe it's like that the film cannot get off in one way, so it finds another way to get off. But yeah, it could be. I don't know. Ishita, I'll throw this to you also, but just one more thing which I thought was uncomfortable in the very least was this sort of use of this Sikh militant warrior kind of tough guy stereotype. The martial race kind of idea of Punjabis and Sikhs in particular, that's used in this very casually. And I don't know, it's appropriation is like is too low on the list of things to kind of come at Vanga with. So I don't think we need to bother with it. But it did make me a bit uncomfortable how casually and happily it was used in the film, because they're like it was just, there's really no other reason, like it is fairly Hindi speaking household and everything, but the Punjabi only comes out when they have to get these sardars there and then ask them to be like remorseless assassins.
I think it irked me also, but as Uday said, that, you know, it's also the last problem you can have with Vanga, because there's already an onslaught of problems. I didn't mention it in the review, but I remember feeling exactly what he said. It's very obvious. Also, I think he's pretty he's very simplistic in his filmmaking, because he uses like obvious signs to make his point come across, you know, like that is why he used, like, he thought this would be the easiest way to get his point across, that these are the, you know, the Sikh, and very obviously Sikh men, you know, who are indulging in violence, because I think he thought, you know, not make an effort and there's a shorthand or something like that. So, but he does that throughout. He's also like, he has very strange ideas of love and violence and men, and so I think it just, he probably deals in very broad strokes and throughout the film, which obviously is very dangerous, to say the least. Yeah.
So what do you think about that question I was wondering about, like the masculinity thing of Ranveer?
I just read a piece today which said the same thing, you know, but I feel like it's giving too much credit to Vanga also. I didn't see it like that. Like, there is a point when Rashmika's character says that you were not having sex with me because you were, you know, whatever you were. Like, you wanted to do it with her. Like, you were, like, conserving. I don't know what else to say. Conserving. To so much you do it.
That is the truest word so far.
Oh man, this podcast, this film is making us.
What does Vanga do to
say
us?
Say things that we do not want.
Oh my God, I'm sweating. So yeah, so I feel like you're just reading too much into it, and you're giving him way too much credit.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I would like to believe that there was some complexity to that. But I just thought he thought like, oh, it'll be cool if we do this. And that's pretty much his motto for everything. That it'll be cool if we just make this guy who looks overtly sexual but can't do shit. And just substitutes it with violence. I don't think there was any psychology behind that. Any understanding of masculinity behind that. Any curiosity about mining anything behind that. There have been a couple of pieces that sort of defend the film that saying, you know, it's an exploration of such people, not so much like a glorification of what exists. What would you say to that?
I don't know, but I'm going to lead you into another question. I've been meaning to ask you this for a few days, actually. Like, as the Ranbir expert out here in this podcast and probably in the country, do you think that in a weird way, his career has kind of led up to this point because of the number of sons at war with dads and misunderstood lovers and, sort of man children that he has played, even though they are very, very different kind of characters, but in a twisted way, has his career kind of led to this?
Yeah, I mean, it has. I think I remember writing in the review that those characters have simply grown up and become like this monster, like this sociopath. And it's an amalgamation of all of that. And obviously, it just feels like they've just gone one step further. And that one step further, of course, back then, we didn't realize that Ranbir would sort of, the older he gets, the more he'll stick to these roles rather than, you know, trying out different kinds of roles. Because I think a failure of a couple of his passion projects just put him back on that path with a vengeance. So now you see like Jhooti Main Makkar and Animal in the same year. Like, screw you all. If you thought those were man children, let me show what men are. Like, that's exactly what's happening. And like, he may not admit it, saying, oh no, I don't think so much about my career. We are dumb actors. We don't like go according to pattern and all. There's no such thing. I think they all subconsciously led into a certain direction by the kind of, you know, and you know, to be fair, he's such a talented actor. He's done like a Barfi at the same time. He's done a rock star. And all these characters fall under the same umbrella in a very weird way. But none of them have felt as abrasive and awful and so as toxic as this one and even as Tu Jhooti Main Makkar character cannot get off lightly, you know, like that guy was so much more representative of like the urban sort of Delhi male today and so much more like into like even giving all the wrong messages in a very believable environment. It's not surprising and it's disappointing as someone who's like been very fascinated by his career for the longest time. I've always loved it. I'm not going to stand back and say, oh, wait, all those roles that he did right now, all the man children he played, those are terrible now. And if it led to this, though, I can't stand by them anymore. No, I do stand by them. They are all very good performances in very different ways. You can't like disown them after a while. But it's unfortunate that it has to accrue because those are the roles that got Sandeep Reddy Vanga's eye. Or no, Love Ranjan's eye.
That's the point, right? Like they saw that and yeah, they saw that. Very cynically thought that, oh, you know, I can use this to my advantage because they have this kind of association with him, but I will use it in my way. And then, you get Tu Jhooti Main Makkar and Animal and apparently Animal 2 if it keeps earning money the way it is.
Animal Park. If you'd like to call it.
Fuck. Oh, man.
But I wanted to understand, like, you know, for when I was watching Jawan, I really liked the way he was, like, Shah Rukh was presented. Like, every entry was, like, an entry scene, right? Which I did not feel here. Like, even if I am a blind Ranbir Kapoor fan, which I'm not, but I'm just saying if I was, then... do you think, which Rahul is, I think, in some capacity. Rahul, does it work for you as a vanity project also? I'm just asking out of curiosity, because I feel like the way Acne presented Shah Rukh was grossly missing from the way Vanga was presenting Ranbir. I don't think he was too caught up in his ideas to present the actor, which he had, even though it opens with superstar Ranbir. I feel like the whole film was more about implication than showing than implication. So I felt like, showing a superstar Ranbir, but he's never presented in a way. Did you feel that, or did it work for you?
No, I mean, I wouldn't say it worked for me. But I feel like the directors obviously use a projection of their real life personalities in a way, right? Like, that's how they are reading them. Like, Shah Rukh is known for his very refreshing take on the world around him, including his stance, towards women, and a very different kind of masculinity, like very in tune with the other gender. I think that's what we saw in Pathaan and Jawan, and those are the kind of heroes he plays. You know, the heroes aren't ashamed in any way to let their counterparts take over and be almost like second to them in a lot of scenes. And it's a very dignified sort of way to play a genre like action. Like, then now you see Ranbir, it's very obvious that this is an extension of what, say, his directors think he is, like, the things they think he's good at. And I guess to some extent, yeah, like, he's just doing what he's always been known for, and there's just going to be more of this. I just thought, like, last year, like, even after Sanju, he's done a couple of roles like this, and you thought that was the phase of his career that would end and he'd start a new leaf. But you don't see something like that. I was particularly curious about something like Ranveer Singh doing like Rocky or Rani this year, and which is more in line with a Shah Rukh kind of masculinity, right? Like, it's more in line with a sort of ears to the ground man who is willing to change, who's willing to admit to his flaws, who's willing to say that they are imperfect and this is what's wrong with us, and this is, we can still be a hero at the same time. And it's interesting that Ranveer Singh, and he did a film last year also that was similar, but it's interesting that Ranveer continues to double down on something that Shahid did in Kabir Singh, or other actors did in the South did with their films.
I mean, did Ranveer as an action hero work for either of you?
I wouldn't say so. Though I must admit a sneaking fondness for the Arjun Valley part of the whole that massacre that happens in the hotel. I thought it had like a kind of brutish energy to it, which I liked. But Ranbir as an action star has never really worked for me. There's just I don't think he sells it, and I don't think going like all Rambo is the way to do it anyways. I think he needs to find a way in which to make it work. I don't think he's really found that yet. So no, to answer your question.
I felt he looked very cheap doing. I don't know why. I just felt like he looked very cheap doing it. Which I mean, he almost had like that scene which Uday just mentioned at the end when he's lying down with the bullet wound. I almost felt like he came or something. You know, it's like that Adam Sandler scene from that Uncut Gems where he's like, "I'm about to come," looking at the diamonds. And I probably that was Vanga's brief to him.
I think it's quite deliberate.
Rahul, you were saying, sorry.
No, I mean, like, I don't even look at this as an action film, honestly. Like, it just occurred to me that it's an action film. It's just the violence here is its own language. Like, I don't even know if Ranbir was in it or not. It was just there for the heck of it, like a lot of things in the film. Like, let's do this for the heck of it. I don't know, it's like, I don't know, maybe down the line Ranbir might make an action star, but certainly like not from, you know, what we've seen so far, be it like Bombay Velvet or be it here or if he does decide to go in like the direction of like, say, like the more sophisticated action films, like the what YRF is doing right now, or maybe Ranveer, what he's doing with Dawn, he might do the next Dawn. So I don't know. Like Ranveer, I don't think is interested in one particular genre as such. I think this was such a hodgepodge of so many things that it's hard to say. But I will say that he's physically very, like adaptive and almost like flexible to any kind of genre. Like we saw that in Shamshera last year. And even though it was a historical, he looked like he fit the part, even it was an action film. And he has a certain way of moving that feels like an extension of his very, very capable dancing abilities. And I feel like if you get the right director, he just might work as an action star. Yeah. Is there anything else? What did we miss? Someone? No. Bobby Deol is as good as not in the film. What did you guys think of the last? The last scene, like the end credits sort of end credits thing.
Rahul, just say it. That you like that one.
No, I mean, I found him because you couldn't recognize him. So I was like, wait, who is this? I've seen him before.
Yeah, he has the Indian team haircut, no?
Like that haircut. Very weird thing where it felt like he was trying to be like, oh, let me show let me show Ranveer in Gully Boy how to do it.
Bit of a Robin Uttapa look he's going for.
Very specific.
The amount of weird references in this podcast today.
I think it's because Jaydev Nutcut for some reason commented on the film, so I have like a... I think I have the cricket team stuck in my head.
Very surprising.
Probably not a Robin Uthappa look at all. It's just like,
I think it was a late career.
In my head. I'm sorry, Robin Uthappa. I don't mean to compare you to
my film. Late career?
It was a late career Sachin look, I think.
Oh, come on. Now you're being like a Vanga type person in just trying to provoke me for no reason. It won't work. It makes no sense.
Seems to be quite easy. And I guess Vanga also realized that with us. The only difference is I'm not earning 300 crores by trolling you. I think we are done with like Animal. For those who are going to continue watching it through the week, do send in your comments or your hate, your love, whatever it is for the film. Though if you do love the film, it is really difficult to relate. But you know, it's allegedly a democratic nation still. So feel free to sort of foster your own opinions. And we will hopefully be back soon. Bunch of films releasing over the next few weeks. Of course, end of the year also, Archie is releasing this week, Zoya Akhtar film. Going to be a lot to talk about, and we will be working on your end as well. So it's going to be a busy month. Don't let Animal drown your capacity. Keep it for the rest of the month. And we will hopefully see you soon. And thanks for listening.